Hello, everyone. Today I'm here with Jess Zurowicz, and we are going to be talking about her journey as a yoga teacher, yoga professional, and what lights her on fire. Welcome, Jess. It's so nice to see you.
Hey, nice to be here with you, Michelle.
Well, Jess is one of our teachers' really good friends, and we're starting to talk about some projects that we have, and we wanted to get to know you a little bit more. So I would love to know where it all started. How did you start practicing yoga? What brought you on your mat?
You know, it's funny. I can remember my first yoga class really specifically, and it was in Charlottesville, Virginia, where I was living right after college, without really a plan. And my friend took me, and it was this studio that was up this big flight of stairs. And I had no idea what was going on. You know, everyone seemed to know what Trikonasana was and things like this. And when I left, nothing changed, but I had this experience of taking a pause. And, you know, I didn't even know why it was beneficial, but I kept going back and tried a lot of different styles. And so it was something that I started doing on and off again for probably 12 years. And I call it sort of unconscious yoga, right? I was very engaged in the physical aspect of yoga, not really understanding why it benefited me. But again, it was that pause. If I didn't know what to do with myself, I could go to yoga and nothing changed when I walked outside of the doors necessarily of that class, but it was a reset. Mm-hmm. And so that is where it started.
And so, you know, you talk about like an unconscious practice or unconscious yogi. I've never heard it said that way, but when did you sort of start to make that connection that the pause could be leveraged off the mat outside of the studio?
I think it took me a long time to be able to verbalize it. You know, I moved to Austin in 2010. To pursue a master's in landscape architecture at UT. And that is at University of Texas, Austin, for those who are not in Austin. And that was the first time that my practice, not the first time, but I guess that's the longest stretch of when my practice became consistent. And even in graduate school, I would go to 10:30 at night classes. That is when I could take a break from school. But that was, you know, that was everything. It got me through that program. And so, you know, I would say for anyone who's been in graduate school, it can be very consuming. So definitely not a conscious yoga practice per se during that time. But friends of mine in my life at that time had gone deeper into the aspects of yoga, into meditation, into teacher training, into these different things like philosophy. And so they would share that with me, but I wasn't really able to absorb and integrate it. Mm-hmm. So eventually I started going to some meditation, and it was very, very challenging for me, as it is for many people. I know they say just sit and meditate, but it is not easy. I started doing that more and then started a teacher training in 2017, not because I wanted to be a teacher, but just to deepen my understanding of yoga and philosophy and meditation and try to get more tools to help me, in times when I really needed to slow it down. So that's when I started to really go deeper. And I also had no idea that that I would end up where I am now.
I can totally relate. I think that that initial teacher training really is like a pivotal moment in our journey. And you know, what did you take away from that initial teacher training? How did it change your practice?
Well, it changed my life. I quit my job in the middle of it. unexpectedly, and also I think something that happens to a lot of people where you end up making a big change. So it changed my life pretty radically, and I don't know what I took away. I mean, the 200 hours is so, you know, you get a little bit of so many things. And I think maybe what I got out of it is there's so much to learn.
Yeah.
You know, like here's this bite size, this little snack of what yoga is. And just sometimes it takes these educational experiences to realize how much you don't know.
Yeah, for sure. So you took the teacher training. How has your practice evolved from that first 200 hour? You know, I know you're about to graduate yoga therapy training as well. And so I'm just curious as to what precipitated out of the practice over that chunk of time.
Oh, man. Well, I was a person who could not sit still. You know, I'm a doer, a goer, a pitta fire girl, and you know, double Aries pitta, can't just have to do a lot of things. And so yin yoga, restorative yoga were honestly painful for me. Mm-hmm. It was very hard to be still and be with my thoughts and be in my body in that sort of way. And so I would say that's the biggest change. When I say unconscious yoga, I think mostly of the yang asana, the quick paced vinyasa, which I still love. That was just all my practice was about at a certain point in my life. And so there's really been a stepping into embodiment, into presence, and into mind training. I think that that is really the most amazing, one of the most amazing things about yoga to me is the long-term effects of the mind training, because our bodies are only going to be able to do certain things for a certain period of our lives. But what we keep with us forever is that awareness. And so being able to learn how to witness my thoughts, how to witness what's happening around me, to respond skillfully, take that pause, and integrate those things. I mean, that I think the slowing down and understanding what it really means to balance,
yeah,
has been pretty life-changing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so many people can resonate with this feeling that if they're not doing something, you know, that there's something to be done. And it like creates a sense of anxiety in people. So just beginning to experience that pause outside, you know, of the practice of the physical asana, you know, is really important. But I also think that with the yang practices, like, you know, vinyasa and ashtanga and these more like physical practices, they can also be a form of escape if we're not careful. You know, like we literally check out into the practice and I'm going through my to-do list, or I'm going through, you know, like what I did at work that day, or what somebody said to me, or, you know, whatever. And I think for me, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, it took me, like, I was in like my 500, somewhere in my 500 before I started to really like, no, just come back to the breath. Just come back to the breath. Mm-hmm. Get out of your head, get into your body, and like be here now. And then that's, I think, that hop, you know, that leap off into those other aspects.
Yeah, it's really hard. Yeah, really hard. You know, it's like you say, just let it go, you know, just let that go. It's like, well, we call it a yoga practice because it's hard.
Yeah.
And we have to keep coming back, and you can do all the trainings in the world. And also it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy to just come back to your breath, right? We're dynamic humans. There's things happening in our own world, in the world outside of us. So it is really hard. And our world is very fast paced. And so, yeah, for like, I do have experience with anxiety. And, you know, another part of the journey has been learning about the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just blew my mind, and still like these learning why yoga works physiologically to help us exist in this world. And the present centered awareness is something that's still challenging. And so it's really about integrating, right? It's about reinforcing it, practicing myself as a student. And then when I'm teaching, I'm reinforcing it to other people, which reinforces it for myself, and just continuing to practice until it becomes more integrated. And I think I'm a visual person, so I think about it as a river, right? Mm-hmm. A river has its course, it's carved its way for years, millions of years. And then over time, the course of that river changes, but it takes a lot of energy, it takes a lot of time. So it's like some of these patterns that we have in our world and ourselves, we're trying to change them, but it takes an immense amount of effort.
Yeah.
And when you work on it, it does happen over time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm sure you've had these aha moments where something stressful happened per se, and all of a sudden I'll find myself doing straw breath,
mm-hmm.
right? That extended exhale. And it's, you know, like this inner victory. I'm like, yes, I integrated it. You know, I've practiced this consciously, had to exert a lot of energy to consciously do this in moments of stress. And now I'm unconsciously doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. I love that. And then, you know, as teachers, we get to see that in our students. We get to see that progression as well, which I think is really cool. I totally agree with you. The reason, probably the primary reason that I teach is to maintain practice. You know, I have to teach from my practice. So I have to practice in order to teach. And that, you know, relationship between doing and then remembering, I think is so important. And it's why one of the reasons I keep going through trainings and coming onto my mat for sure. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about your heartfelt desire. What is it that, you know, really makes you feel connected to life living through you?
Oh, that's a great question. It's a tenfold question. You know, as far as yoga, I would say, you know, when I quit my job, I never wanted to teach yoga. I thought, well, maybe I'll do some community classes. Maybe I'll share these resources with other people who wouldn't have access. Service, seva has always been an important part of my life. I think even before I understood why at a young age, I've always been engaged with some kind of service. So when I quit my job, I decided to start teaching yoga in my yard. I've always been an entrepreneur and carved my own path. So I had an email list. I made little graphics and I would send it out and teach yoga in my yard twice a week. And then I also started to get connected with some nonprofits. So I started sharing yoga with incarcerated women. I started sharing yoga at Community First Village, which is permanent housing for formerly houseless people here in Austin. And so I think my heartfelt desire is to share resources, mm-hmm. right? I recognize that yoga in its entirety has been such a healing modality for me and continues to be. And I watch it do that for a lot of other people, which is beautiful. And so it's been a privilege that I have had access to these resources. Mm-hmm. And so it's just really important for me to pay them forward and to share them with other people. And whether it's yoga or a book on psychology or a poem that really resonated with me that I think someone, you know, it might help them or they might enjoy it. That's just always something that's important to me, is to share resources.
Mm-hmm.
Other things in my life, you know, people may not know, I'm a licensed landscape architect. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big mountain mama nature girl. And there is something very therapeutic about nature. And that's been studied in all sorts of ways. But I think that relationship between nature, physical well-being, and mental health is something that I now understand how to verbalize, but I've felt that at a very on a very primal level for all of my life. And so I think that's led me to follow these different career paths, which a lot of them have been paths of passion, you might say.
Yeah.
That fire, that Aries.
Yeah, absolutely. The landscape architecture is really interesting to me. And I know we had talked about, you know, some of the spaces that you've designed for like meditation and, you know, just that communion with nature to like reset. You know, I know that there are many, many studies out there about, you know, earthing and, you know, releasing free radicals with, you know, just the energy of the earth. And, you know, how did you get involved in those projects?
In the field of landscape architecture or in specific projects?
Like just as in terms of like, you know, designing spaces for, you know, meditation or spaces for, you know, reflection and connection in nature.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of, you know, I think every project, every landscape design is exactly that, right? Is designing a space that will help people ground, that will help people connect with nature, that will help people be present. And so there are projects that might be, you know, a horticultural therapy garden at a children's hospital, right? Yeah. There are things that designs that are specifically, right? Like that is the project goal. And then there's just, you know, a residential design that is not, you know, in the scope of work. It's not talking about a place for meditation necessarily, but I call it design with empathy.
Yeah.
Right? I can think about how people might use these spaces, how I might give them spaces, like create spaces for them that they don't know that they need, mm-hmm. or that they don't know necessarily would be beneficial for them. So yeah, there's all, I think every project is an opportunity to create an environment for people to increase their wellness.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's awesome that you get to do both the mind body and you get to do, you know, the more organic, you know, nature-based work, because it's creating in two different spaces and it's really nice to be able to blend those two worlds. Tell me a little bit about the projects that you're currently working on. I know that you're working on a project with one of our teachers, Katie Hernandez, and you've talked about some other projects you're interested in starting. Let's hear about those.
Yeah, I'm grateful to be working with Katie. We are, you know, it's nice to be able to collaborate professionally with your friends. Mm-hmm. People you enjoy being around. So she's lovely. And we are working on a workshop series here in Austin through Practice Yoga, where I teach regularly. And it is based on the solstices and equinoxes. So we did our first one for the spring equinox in April. And then that was in March. We are now in April. And then we'll be doing them every solstice and equinox for the rest of the year. So it's a really interesting way to look through the framework of Ayurveda, yoga, and astrology to look at the months ahead and set intentions and be in community. And Katie is studying to be an Ayurvedic practitioner. So she is a well of knowledge and I get to learn from her. So that's a really fun project. And also working on creating an exciting course for my vinyasa practice, which will be centered around yoga for recovery. It feels really meaningful to take life experience and then turn it into a resource for other people. So I'm excited to work on that and collaborate with you, Michelle. And other things happening is, you know, I'm still being a landscape architect here in Austin. I am finishing up my yoga therapy certification, which is really exciting. And I also have a small business. I'm an artist, so I make drawings and create different products like cards and journals and pins and patches out of them and sell them locally and online, and then profits from that help fund free yoga for incarcerated women, as I'm teaching every week in the Travis County Correctional Complex.
That's awesome. That is so, I mean, it's just so nice that you get to plug in so many different ways. I know a lot of our listeners are newer yoga teachers, or maybe they were trained during the pandemic. And the question that I always get is, how do you create a workshop? How do you create an offering? So I'd love to get, you know, your thoughts and maybe a little bit of your process, especially collaborating with, you know, a friend or a colleague. I mean, I know that was one of my deepest desires, was to collaborate with colleagues and to uplift that collective. So I'd love to just hear your process and share it with our listeners, because that really is, you know, it's like, what do you do after the training? Like, how do you really integrate this into your life and create opportunities for, you know, service, but also to make, you know, a living?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's challenging. And I'm grateful to you and your staff and what you are doing to intentionally bolster the yoga teacher community, because it's challenging. The advice that really has always remained with me is, during my teacher training, my teacher said, say yes to everything. Say yes to any opportunity you have to teach. And, you know, because sometimes maybe we think, well, I'm going to do the training, I'm going to start teaching at a studio, I'm going to, you know, this is the linear progression. But it's so important to just get experience. I mean, people, I'm sure, have different levels of comfort when they emerge from teacher training. I was terrified personally. I remember writing down every single thing that I was going to say for a class. And it really just takes time to find your voice. It's easy to compare to other people. And so it's important to find your voice and find what it is you're offering. Mm-hmm. And it takes time to do that. And so that is part of how I started teaching in the prison system. I was curious about it. You didn't. And then, you know, when I inquired, you didn't have to have experience. Right. So just teaching, you know, saying yes to anything and seeing what emerges. And it's all practice. It's all, you know, helpful to figure out where you fit in the landscape. And from there, it can then lead into knowing what you want to offer as a workshop. You know, at this point, you know, I'm a more experienced teacher and Katie's a more experienced teacher. And when we got together to, you know, I said, hey, do you want to collaborate? You know, and so when we got together to brainstorm, neither of us had a preconceived idea about what we would be offering. We just sat there and brainstormed different things that we could do and then zeroed in on what we both felt the most drawn to and what we thought would be the best for us to work on together. So yeah, I think some of it just takes time, experience, getting more comfortable and seeing what emerges.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. What is, when you're planning a workshop, what are the elements that you usually include? So the solstice workshop, for example, I know that y'all have told me a little bit about it, but I'd love to sort of, you know, share with listeners what they can, you know, expect to include in a workshop. And you're doing this in person, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so a lot of these things that, you know, Jessica and I are talking about can be applied to online as well. So it's definitely something that, you know, I think listeners will resonate with regardless of where they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. You know, ours, the way that we have structured it is it's a series, and there's different options and opportunities for how you can engage. And so people had the, for each event, so for each solstice or equinox, we are doing a 2.5 hour training and a 1.5 hour extended class. Mm-hmm. And so that creates the opportunity for people to do the whole season with us. And so the 2.5 hours is more of a deep dive into the yoga, the Ayurveda, and astrology of that upcoming season. And then the 1.5 hour class is an extended practice that's informed by what's seasonally appropriate. So seasonally appropriate practices, and then also including sound. And that's in a special event space, the Practice Yoga Church space here in Austin. And so by doing this, we gave the opportunity for people to do the whole year with us. So all the workshops, all the classes, or to sign up for a single season and do that particular workshop and class, or just to come to a class, just to come to the extended class. And Katie and I, you know, created the content, and we also created a little handout book that people who come to the workshop would get. And, you know, she and I definitely went above and beyond because we geek out on this stuff, and I am an artist and she's a graphic designer as well. So we made this little book that people could take home with them. And it's a lot of fun. You know, so much of it is, yes, sharing the knowledge with other people, and also having it be an opportunity for me to increase my own knowledge, right? By doing certain research, by learning from Katie. And so I would say that's a really great part of doing workshops and collaborations also. Mm-hmm. So yeah, our next one is in June for the summer solstice. And if anyone's interested, they can get in touch or look it up on Practice Yoga Austin website.
Awesome. Well, I know that's a great offering, and I'm super excited for y'all to finish out the year and to hear how it went. So I know that you did train at Practice, but I wanted to talk to you a little bit about like influential teachers and, you know, maybe even philosophies that have really, you know, spoken to you and fuel you and fuel your teaching and the way that you approach the philosophy and lifestyle of yoga.
Yeah, I actually did my initial 200-hour training at Eastside Yoga.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, which is no longer in existence here in Austin, unfortunately. But that is where I did my 200-hour training. And and from there, yeah, I now am teaching at Practice Yoga and doing the yoga therapy program through their school. You know, teachers, since my career, my interests are grounded in these different aspects, I think so many authors, experts, teachers about such a range of topics have been teachers for me, have been major parts of my path. And then also people in my life, like Michelle, you're a teacher. My best friend Margaret's a teacher, right? I have these people in my life who also are teachers for me. The women, you know, the incarcerated women, I go in and they say, I'm not here to teach you, right? This is a collaboration. I'm here to learn from you as well. So I'm just looking at my bookshelf over here, right? And I've got The Body Keeps the Score, Tara Brach, Pema Chodron's a big one, Thich Nhat Hanh, Brené Brown, Hafiz, the poet, right? Mary Oliver, This man wrote a book, Laughs Child in the Woods, about nature deficit disorder. So there's so many different topics that I've learned from. And that's something I think, like, yoga is a framework, right? Some people, I know I can get asked sometimes, you know, I go to church. Does that mean I can't go to yoga? Right. And that's always an interesting question that often comes up in the jail or in the prison. And so I see all of these things as frameworks, right? We've got yoga, we've got recovery frameworks, we have psychological frameworks, attachment theory, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy. We've got so many different frameworks, astrology, and by bringing them together, right? It's like, take what you like and leave the rest. I always say what resonates with you, right? Keep that, take it with you. But they're all frameworks that can inform us. And I think the same about teachers, right? There's something to be gained from having a conversation with a stranger. And that can teach you something in that moment. And then there can be things in that conversation that you know, that you don't want to take with you forever. So I guess that's how I think about the world of knowledge that's available for us. And in Austin, I've had some really wonderful people who have been my teachers. I've been their students. I've worked with them one-on-one as yoga therapy clients. Then that turned into a mentorship. Now we're colleagues and friends. So it's very cool to be in the community here. I find that it's a lot about collaboration more than competition between teachers and studios. And I really appreciate that. I think that's a really wonderful aspect of our community here. Austin, Texas, I am here because of my community, my friend family, my work family. It's just a really robust and vibrant community.
Yeah, no, we are really blessed. And I think, you know, I have very strong relationships with some studios in Austin. And it's just so nice to have that connection and that support as a teacher, as a professional in the industry, but, you know, also just as a human being, you know, like, it's like nice to be able to human with other people who do similar things and to have like a genuine connection. So I totally agree with you. We are really blessed here in Austin for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, Jess, it has been really so awesome chatting with you today. I think the biggest takeaway that I'd love to, you know, drive to our listeners is that, you know, Jessica has a website and she does do some really amazing graphic pieces, the cards she was talking about. All of these things will help to fund her facilitating yoga within the prison systems here in Central Texas. And I think that that's just a really great cause. So please do check it out. What is the website for everyone, Jess?
My personal website is itisawebsite.com. And then my art business is called It Is All Goods. And so that is itisallgoods.com.
Excellent. It is all goods with an S.com. We will definitely check that out. And we are excited about working with you for the Yoga for Recovery project. Again, that's going to be coming out here hopefully this year. And we are in, you know, collaboration and working together to produce this content. So that's going to be really special. We're looking at making sure that it is going to count for CEUs, hopefully for, you know, both yoga teachers and yoga therapists. So we're excited to bring that out into the community. We'll keep you posted about more of that and more things to come. Thanks so much, Jess, for being here.
It was great to be here with you, Michelle.
Absolutely. All right, y'all. Have a great rest of your day.